It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A proposal to overhaul Dodd-Frank just in time for the presidential debates. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Molly Wood in for David Brancaccio. The GOP today is out with a plan to replace the six-year-old Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. A top Republican lawmaker will announce the plan this morning. It will roll back many of the financial industry regulations that were passed in the wake of the financial crisis. With me here is Marketplace's Sabri Menashor live. Sabri, what does this plan call for?
Well, it basically repackages 6 years worth of Republican attempts to chip away at Dodd-Frank, attempts that have died in the Senate and always faced a veto threat by the president. But specifically, it would, for example, it would eliminate the Volcker rule. That's the rule that says to large banks, you can't invest your depositors' money to make money for yourself. You can be banks or you can be investment banks, but not both. It takes away the ability of regulators to identify systemically important financial institutions. This is where regulators say this bank is too big to fail and we're going to regulate it now. It would allow large banks to get out of certain financial regulations if they raise significantly more capital. So it says, OK, you don't want to be regulated bank, then make yourself a larger cushion in case things go wrong. Mm-hmm. It would try to ease things for smaller community banks, which have said they've been burdened by the rules designed for the big guys. And there's a ton of other stuff in here, including things that don't have much to do with Dodd-Frank, like auditing the Fed, getting rid of the Labor Department's fiduciary rule. Lots of stuff.
So, but as you said, these are a lot of ideas that have been brought up before. They failed to pass. They definitely face a veto threat. Why do this now?
Well, nobody's under any illusions that any of this will pass under a Democratic president. What it is, though, it's a policy roadmap for where the GOP would like to go if it gets a Republican in the White House and preserves control in Congress.
Marketplace's Sabri Menashor, thank you.
Sure thing.
It is also election day in six states. Five of them are holding presidential primaries, and North Dakota Democrats hold caucuses. So we wondered, how are these states doing economically? Are they better or worse off than the nation as a whole? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
The states holding elections today are a mixed bag. Some are really hurting.
North Dakota is the extreme case.
That's Howard Kuehr of Evercore Wealth Management. He says North Dakota's economy relies heavily on the energy sector. So do New Mexico and Montana. As a result,
there were a lot of jobs created because of that reliance, and now a lot of those jobs have ceased and there have been layoffs.
Kuehr says that makes voters in those states anxious. Ditto for New Jersey, although voters there are worried about sluggish job growth. In South Dakota, farmers are concerned about falling prices for agricultural products. Growers in California's Central Valley are worried, too. But Silicon Valley tech workers are really happy.
Well, California's economy is really booming.
Josh Rao teaches finance at Stanford University.
But the gains that we've seen have been very unequally distributed.
Rao says some Californians resent that inequality and could carry those feelings into the voting booth. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In Scotland today, a hearing on a proposed law that would set a mandatory minimum price for alcohol. The thinking is that by raising the price of some liquor, the government could help curb excessive drinking. And the global liquor industry is watching closely for a precedent. The BBC's Reval Alderson, Scottish Home Affairs correspondent, is in Glasgow with more. Reval, get us a sense of what this law is hoping to accomplish.
Well, this was a law that was passed 4 years ago by the Scottish Parliament. And the idea was to try to improve Scotland's fairly abysmal health record in relation to alcohol and to cut consumption, particularly of high-strength ciders and vodkas, which are often priced at the lowest end of the market. So the idea was that by putting a minimum price for a unit of alcohol, which the government has now fixed at 50 pence per unit of alcohol, that would price some of these cheaper, more toxic substances out of the market and tackle the health problems. But it has been mired for the past 4 years in legal problems.
Can you give me an example of the price hike? How significant is that?
In terms of these very high-strength ciders, which are beloved by certain people, I think the price would almost double. That means that if you're on a budget and basically wanting to drink to get drunk, it's going to be much more difficult to do that. So the idea is that they are targeting the government a certain section of society and a certain type of drink. And I think that is what the Scotch Whisky Association, which has taken this matter to court, is arguing against.
Well, we know that the alcohol industry is watching this court ruling very closely. What is the potential for global precedent?
Oh, well, I don't know what the potential for a global precedent is, but certainly if the Scottish government gets away with this, then it could have a deleterious effect on the drinks industry worldwide if other governments followed suit. The precedent having been set, it might be up to individual governments to say, right, we're going to target this particular drink or that particular drink, and that would cause a major readjustment for the market in that country. And of course, and this is what the Scotch Whisky Association is arguing, is that it could therefore damage their exports into other countries, which is very significant value to the Scottish economy.
That's the BBC's Reval Alderson. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
One of the legal industry's most elite firms, this final note, just announced that it will up first-year lawyer salaries from $160,000 to $180,000. Other firms are likely to do the same. Base salaries have not gone up in a decade for these poor junior lawyers, but weep not for them. Partners at Cravath, Swain & Moore, which made the move, earned an average of $3.5 million each last year. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Christopher Olin. I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.